Yeah, Wham! And Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Happy Friday. Friday, 3rd of July.
Hello.
How the heck are you?
Friday already.
Woo!
Holy smoke. Let me fix this.
Quite happy to be Friday, I have to say.
Yay. Well,
yeah, it doesn't look like a fantastic Friday out there now, I have to say, around these parts.
It's got a Friday. Oh, it's very grey. Oh,
are you not happy it's Friday?
I don't know. I'm all right with Fridays. You know,
how could you not love Fridays? Even if Fridays are just like Wednesdays nowadays.
That's true. No,
it's still a Friday.
I do love a Friday, but you know yourself, the weekends are very long.
What?
You know what I mean? You've heard.
I do realise you're the only person in the country who says that. No, I have heard you say it, but like you haven't even gone into this one yet.
I know, and I'm already thinking, japers.
Everybody else would be more than happy if the weekends were like 4 days long.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I can't wait to get into a queue for something. Oh, it's gonna be deadly. Oh, I can't wait to get into a queue for some medication at the pharmacy and all. It's gonna be great cracking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Isn't it?
Anyway. Happy Friday to you folks. I don't know what it's like where you are around the country. Not great around these parts. It's a bit wet and windy.
It's a bit scaldy.
And that's only PJ. But
well, it's true enough.
Anyway, if you want to give us a shout, please do. Feel free at any stage. 087-188-000. Why they see Butty Brennan's on there and Garrett and Limerick and Pa the Plaster and Bo's Richie and I see Margaret and everything.
Jeepers.
So the whole gang are out and about, raring to go. They've got that Friday buzz on their heads.
Here we go. The full gang of half-wits on board. Ready to hit the
Stop own. Calling the listeners halfwits.
I was including myself.
Park Light from Blur, almost 12 minutes past 6 o'clock. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Happy Friday, folks. Friday, 3rd of July. Just 12 minutes past 6, as I say, and we're about to do the birthdays. And a good one, not a bad one, to be fair for you today. There's a few in there I think you'll have a good old stab at.
Oh, good, yeah.
And the first one, believe it or not, not only is it very, very famous, but there's actually a bit of a family connection for you.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I definitely won't know that then.
This is the birthday of Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
Didn't you tell me your sister met him?
Yeah, she says it's the most, to this day, the most impressive weird celebrity incident.
Yeah, and not because she fancied him, Ratton, just because he was like total pro.
Well, I tell you the story again.
Yeah, why
so
not?
So he came in, he was doing an interview for the Late Late Show, and because it was Tom Cruise, it was one of the only non-live interview ever at the time, right?
Yeah.
So he walks into the studio, and Ryan Tubridy's stands up, and he just goes, give a second. And he goes around all the crew, everybody in the crew. Now, this is a full live working studio, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking like 26 to 30 crew, something like that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
26 to produce the Late Late Show?
Well, yeah, when you have cameras and you've got stagehands and production and lighting and you have makeup and you have wardrobe.
God, it doesn't look at yours.
And then you've got... And then you've got, like, all the research.
26 of them, and that's what they give you.
Yeah, so you're talking, like, it's a huge crew.
Yeah.
And he walks around each of them and asks them their name and says something like, what do you do here? Or how's things getting on? Ask them about themselves. And then he goes to Ryan and asks him. And then at the end of the show, at the end of the interview, he stands up, walks around, says goodbye to Ryan, says thanks very much, and it was a joy. Points around every single crew member. He knew their names. He remembered every single one of their names.
Wow.
And remembered something about them.
See?
So he went up to my sister and goes, Stacey, thanks so much for your help with that today. Tell the two boys I said hello and whatever.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Incredible. See what that Scientology does? He mind melded them as he was talking to them.
He did, yeah. Yeah, he was able to, yeah. He was there.
He was extracting it with his lizard brain. He was extracting the information.
Yeah, it was mad stuff.
It was being beamed into his head from a satellite.
Yeah.
Millions of miles in the sky.
It's very impressive, weird.
It's very impressive, though.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
But it's very impressively weird, I think.
Because, to be honest with you, if it wasn't for the whole Scientology thing, and maybe that rather nasty, embarrassing episode on Oprah's couch, you kind of would have thought he was all right.
Well, yeah, the nicest man ever.
Yeah, exactly.
The nicest man ever.
Yeah, fair play.
But you know something? If there was only six people and he did that, you'd say fair play to him. But because there was like 26, you go,
yeah,
weirdo.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so I got to say, Tom Cruise is like 53.
He's 58.
Oh, is he?
58,
he doesn't look that.
Yeah. I'd say Tom Cruise is disgusted he wasn't born tomorrow. That would have been the ultimate American. Must be the ultimate American thing to be born on the 4th of July.
Must be. Okay.
Especially when you've literally done a movie called Born on the 4th of July.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Although that movie isn't exactly very nice about America.
No, to be fair. Yeah.
But yeah, what if? Yeah, I know. But he is. He's Mr. America.
Because he would have been Mr. America, like literally.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, Tom Cruise, 58. Okay, one of our own, Shane Lynch.
Ah,
Boys' own favorite.
Yeah.
Who's actually sound. I've met him a couple of times. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I know you know him through the motor racing stuff.
Well, I don't know
bit,
him
don't
through
you?
That because he was always in the car end of things.
Ah, right.
I know that he does it. You know that.
Yeah.
If I've met him, two times I met him, it's been, you liked a bit of racing. Yeah, so did I. That's the kind of the conversation.
Yeah. Right? I've just interviewed him a couple of times, but he's always sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember
and he'll forever be remembered for the Late Late Show outburst.
That was so funny, man.
But yeah, I'm sure you must get, I mean, I know for you, you're not precious about the whole sort of kind of stuff you embrace it. But I mean, I'd say for, you know, like, if you're just starting out and you made a bit of a fool of yourself.
I think the problem...
The idea of showing it 20 years later.
Yeah. But I think the problem with a few of the boys' own lads is they kind of want to be taken serious. And you're not allowed.
Yeah. When you're in a boy band.
You gave up the right to be taken serious. as I did myself.
When you went on in a pair of dungarees and very little else, dancing like a chimpanzee.
And when you're hamming along in a white suit on the beach or whatever it is, you give up the right to be taken. A few of us have given up the right to be taken seriously. You know, we've no right to be running for politics or anything anymore.
Yeah.
Right, I'd say that Shane Lynch is, I think he's like the same age as me, maybe. He's 46, I'll go.
You should have stuck to the same age as you.
Ah, fart.
44. Oh no, you're 45.
No, I'm 45.
All right, 44.
I didn't think he was
even younger than you.
Jesus, and all that success.
Shane Lynch, 44. Right, staying on the music front, Vince Clarke, Depeche Mode, Yazoo, Erasure. Now, I'll give you this one, right, because it's a significant birthday for Vince Clarke. And of course, he's the quiet one, you know, the keyboardy lad.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if that helps me, man. Is he 60?
Ah, you know, yes, he is.
Ah, yeah, well, that's
there
all right,
go.
Yeah.
Why would you struggle to place him?
I would, yeah. It's a Depeche Mode. You'd be struggling to place any of them. Now they've got the fringes cut off, you wouldn't know them anywhere. You know, it'd be a hard place, those lads. That was a very weird band, playing bicycle wheels and everything when everyone else was learning the guitar.
Mm.
Tinkering along with
they wouldn't have been a band that was into it all at the time.
I kind of was, but I was very ashamed of it. I used to actually slag a mate of mine for being into them, and then I'd be at home going,
people are people, so what
could it be? Why don't anybody take me seriously? Yeah, that was it.
Anyway, Vince Clarke, 60. Right, okay, next one for you. Your beloved Formula One. You know the way you can't wait to get a Formula One thing.
Oh my God, you do this to me all the time.
It's because you're such a big Formula One fan.
Give Shane Lynch a ring there to help you out.
Absolutely. German racing star Sebastian Vettel.
All right.
He's still current, isn't he? Very much. Vettel is still current, isn't he?
Is he?
Is he? Not anymore.
I thought,
did he not have like a long-standing battle? Was it not sort of... Is he not the grumpy one, no?
Yeah, I think they're all a bit grumpy nowadays. I don't think there's anyone in Formula One with a smile on their face.
Right.
All the interviews are... It's like all sport. It's all so dour and down and nobody's actually ever happy about anything. And if they are, it's like this.
Well, I mean, I can't describe it to you. It's a feeling...
Yeah, I grew up hoping for this moment.
I've spent my entire life trying to feel like this, and now I don't really know what to do next. I mean, it's literally the pinnacle of anybody's career, isn't it?
He's been world champion, in fairness, a few times. 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, he's not current. He's probably gone a bit. Yeah, yeah, now that you mention it. God, so who's current? Like, who's the...
It's your man.
Is it the Pussycat Doll fella?
Yeah.
Right.
He's the fella.
Still.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah, sure. He's won so many now at this stage. He's done a Schumacher and he's ruined it all over again. Yeah. Yeah, he just, by winning absolutely everything, they just have to keep trying to change the rules so he doesn't win, which is tough. Imagine doing that.
Great.
Like,
it's like when Tiger Woods was playing golf and they had to keep growing extra golf courses. They were sort of trying to make them longer just to, for God's sake.
He keeps hitting the blooming. It's going out onto the road.
People in the houses are complaining.
Yeah,
you know.
They're giving out. Another one's after landing in the cul-de-sac. They're going mad. He hit some fella's dog there the other week. Right, so I gotta say.
Right, Sebastian Vettel, what age are you sticking on him?
He's 48.
Sebastian Vettel, my man, is 33.
Oh, yeah, that's ridiculous, isn't it? It's not ridiculous.
That's why I thought he was still kind of current.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 33.
I should have, if I had any brain at all, taken that as a clue. It's current, yeah. 48. Because, of course, there's 48-year-olds racing Formula One. For God's sake.
Right, the last one for you then is Julian Assange.
Oh,
Mr. WikiLeaks himself.
Mr. Wiki, yeah, jeepers.
I mean, they've made movies about him and everything.
I know, and then...
I'm sure all he was a bit of a rat.
He's only a rat. Trying to help everyone out. And then he got, of course, there was all the weird allegations. Oh,
what is his, where is he now? Do we know where he is?
He's in jail, isn't he?
Is he in jail?
The
right,
Ecuador
okay.
government threw him out, didn't they? They threw him out.
Talk about, yeah, overstay. That's like, you know, a person who says, can I crash with you for a while? And then years later, you're... Like, it was supposed to be for the weekend, man.
I know.
I'm struggling to find a place.
And by the way...
Yeah, but it's been 8 years.
I know. And all those police are still outside. I know. I know.
You promised you'd get a job. I know, I'm struggling with it, you know.
It's just, you know...
There's not much demand for people giving out stories about other people.
And obviously, I have to work from home. So yeah. That's a bit of a problem. Yeah, that's that.
Right.
My two favourite stories ever about stuff like that is Julian Assange going up to the Ecuador embassy and staying there for 8 years, and Chris Eubank, who gave a random stopped a random homeless person, and he said to him, "Come and live with me. Put his money where his mouth is."
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you like the homeless, let them live with you. Yeah. And he picked a random homeless man, took him home, says he's going to live here, and after 2 days, the homeless fellow went, "Here, I can't take this anymore," and went back on the street.
He chose homelessness over Chris Eubank.
There's
only so many times a lad can tell you he's a pugilist.
Yeah, he's doing me head in, walking around with his monocle and all stupid ages. Yeah, he actually went back out.
He keeps making me wear 3-piece suits and all. Yeah, he's weird.
Just honking the horn of his truck and all. But I gotta say, Julian Assange, he's like 57.
49.
I have him really bad at this. 49. This has been an awful week.
Right. Have a moment to yourself there. It's Friday.
If I get Chris Eubank right, do I get a point?
And now you're up to date on the home of PJ and Jim waking up happy weekdays from 6 a.m. This is Classic Hits.
Thank you, Tara. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. Unlike Grump Features in the corner, I'm delighted it's Friday.
Grump Features.
I think I deserve that. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Have you ever met anybody who doesn't like Fridays? Apart from my learned friend and colleague.
I do like Fridays. I'm just not mad about the days after them.
Right.
Right.
Okay, well then I'll rephrase my question for you, Tara. Have you ever met anybody who doesn't like weekends?
No. Right. I have never met anyone as weird as him.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, never. That covers a multitude.
It does, yes. And that's why I phrased it in such a way.
Yeah.
Even I think you should be more specific than that.
Basically everything, then. Everything.
Unless you're looking at, you know, somebody who works at the weekends, maybe. I suppose that's, you know what I mean? If you were somebody who worked in a boozer or something. Well, back in the old days when boozers were busy at weekends.
Mm. Yeah, back
when... Oh, my God, actually, I was just thinking that. What are they going to be like now? This would be the first weekend of...
Oh, you're right.
Boozer done, won't it?
You're right, this is the first weekend, yeah. So there's going to be... I wonder if it's going to be a landslide or is it just going to be more of the same?
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting watch.
Yeah.
But it'll be one I'll be doing from afar, I think.
Oh, really?
Yes,
Are you going to abstain?
Well, I went out 3 times this week.
Yeah,
I need the weekend for rest and relaxation, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You don't want to be mixing with the masses anyway.
No, absolutely
not. You like it exclusive.
Yes. Yes.
Tara's like, it's just like a bat phone. I reckon that the local's giving her a phone and she just picks it up and it's like the red phone glows and everything in the pub and they're like, Tara, we're looking for a book and hold on.
Exactly.
Stop the lights.
Throw those people down to the back out.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So you're not, no kind of hostelries for you over the course of the weekend?
No, I don't think so. Certainly not in the plan. So we'll see how it goes, but not in the plan, no.
Will you be having your takeaway option, PJ?
I may have a fizzy walking in the back lane with dogs again. Depending.
Oh, is that what you're at, is it?
Yeah, he walks around and waters down what is already a very watery pint, if you ask me.
Excuse me.
Have you seen what he drinks?
Oh, Smittix, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
That one.
You still...
Would it not be just easier for you? Would it not save you a few quid if you just, when you went for your walk in the rain, if you just brought an empty glass with you and scooped it out of puddles? Would it not be a similar sort of experience?
Is that outrageous? You stout, guzzling muck gobblers. You're a disgrace to the nation.
I'm trying to save you a few quid, that's all.
That is I'll tell you something. Smittix is the finest culty bog water known to man.
Well said, PJ.
And I love it.
Well done.
And it's very weak, so it suits me perfectly.
Especially when you walk in the rain.
Yeah, well, you want. I'd show Tara the picture of the stage of me walking up and down with the rain banging off the top of it. You're beautiful.
Yep, that's what it is. The Look of Love from ABC. And Nelly Furtado just ahead of that.
That's how you finish
like
a song,
bird.
Isn't it? Look of Love! Get out! Get out! At the end. This is, it's over.
Yeah.
It's not messing around.
Shout at them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, none of this.
Yeah, I know you've been enjoying this whatever it is, 3.5 minutes of poptasticness, but now it's finished!
Yeah. Out! It's pretty. There's none of this fading into the distance gradually. You know, it's just like, that's it. Over.
Yeah, over, right.
Love that.
That's it. We're out of here. Mic drop. Gone.
It's deadly, isn't it? That's how songs should finish like that. A slap in the chops.
Right, few people to say hi to. Birthdays today. Lads, can you do a big favour? Can you wish Richie from Munster Joinery a big, big happy 40th for tomorrow? And it's his wife's 40th next week.
Oh, well, happy very 40s, too.
They're celebrating an 80th
happy
between them.
80th birthday together. That's fantastic. Have a deadly one.
So, Richie and Mrs. from Munster Joinery, happy 40th birthdays to the pair of you.
Welcome to
enjoy
the fourth floor, both of you.
Absolutely. Also, somebody was on to say, my dad, Michael F. Hughes.
F. Hughes?
Michael F. Hughes.
That's that is a name now.
Yeah.
That's the type of name that says...
Sorry,
love, God's love, out there.
Exactly. Sorry, what'd you say your name was? F. Hughes. Well, F. you too. I only asked you your name. Yeah. Anyway, Michael F. Hughes was born on the 4th of July, 1931.
Holy.
It's his birthday tomorrow. He's going to be 89 years young.
Happy birthday.
From Suzanne and Dean's Grange. Actually, Joseph, will you remind me? Do you do me a favour?
Yeah.
I have to do a very special request just after 9 o'clock, right?
Right, yeah.
For my own mammy.
Oh, very good.
Because it's my ma's birthday tomorrow.
It isn't, is it?
4th of July, she'll be 93, man.
Get out of it.
Yeah. And I have to do it just after 9 because she's in St. Clair's, as you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And the staff and that wanted me to give a bit of a shout out to the staff there and stuff like that.
Brilliant, so yeah.
Don't let me forget that. She
I
won't.
Will not let you forget that.
Right. I'm literally entrusting you.
You can trust me. When have I ever forgotten anything?
Will I just leave? Will I leave that there for to give you time to remember?
So what time did you say? Just so I'm sure. What time?
Just after 9 o'clock.
Just after 9 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. What are we doing?
We're doing a request.
Great. Who's it for?
I was just going to ask. I will not forget.
Yeah. Anyway.
Something at 9 o'clock. I'll
write it down. I'll write it down somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Write it down on my forehead. Because you'll be looking at me at the 9 o'clock news.
The other thing is, Sebastian Vettel is still at it. He's still with Ferrari.
That's all. That's some people going, isn't it?
Yeah. But like, in fairness, he's only 33. I know you thought he was 48.
I mean, honestly,
but he's only 33.
Sometimes I'm not joking. You like, there've been days, right?
Yeah.
But we've done the show here and all, and we've had a great laugh and everything. You know.
Yeah.
And I've been there. Jeez, that was great. I think I should call the doctor and just get a checkup. You know. There's been days where that's happened.
Why? Because you can't remember what happened to him.
Because I'm like, I literally thought a pensioner was a high end Formula
One
racer.
Yeah.
Or I said something along those lines.
Oh, right. Okay.
You
remember something you said and you thought, so what normal person would say that?
Yeah, that's something. Like, if anyone else said that, I'd be there going, are you all right? I'd call an ambulance.
Yeah. Somebody else said it, you'd say, I can't be your friend, man, because you're weird.
You're weird. You're a weirdo. And then I'd be saying, and I just go, right, I just think I need a doctor. I'm just a little bit off or something. I'm off me food or something.
Listen, speaking of the 4th of July, of course, we're going to be celebrating it right across the weekend. We've got a big American weekend kicking off today, actually. We've got a few big American bangers lined up for you through the course of the show for us to play for you. And it runs right through the day and, of course, then right across the weekend. All the big American classic hits.
Yeah.
You can imagine, there'll be plenty of Springsteen and another big American band.
Yeah, the Beatles. You know.
Yeah, they're English, they're Liverpool.
Oh, Artie, I knew there was something I didn't like about them.
Yeah.
Is it? Oasis, then. Blur.
Right, okay. Could be a long day.
Dire Straits.
Anyway, big American tunes. We'll have a few of them lined up. And as I say, celebrating it right across the weekend. Looking forward to that. There'll be some big, big numbers in there. And also, of course, today, we've got lots going on with the hit bit. It's, 1290?
1290, yeah. We'll do our thing. We'll
why not?
1,300 quid.
Absolutely.
Lucky 13 for the day that's in it on the hit bit.
Plenty of cash on the hit bit. That's on the way in about an hour. Well worth getting in early. Classic hit study to check out the previous guesses and have a listen. And then let Magic Mike know you want to play. 087 188 0008. And final day on the breakfast table quiz. We're looking for the Dirty Dozen, is it?
The Dirty
Dozen. 12 do it?
12 will do it, yeah. Yeah, right. 12 is what we need in the breakfast table quiz.
Cool. So all of that's on the way. And if you need to give us a shout for anything, 087-188-0008.
David Bowie, can we play him for the American thing? Paul Young.
Yes, it is. Time to get the news that maybe didn't quite make the news, eh, Tara?
That's it, Jim.
That's what it's all about. I'm always afraid to call it good news.
Same here, yeah.
Oh, no, it's not always good news.
It's not always good news.
No, it's not.
Can't always, you know, into every life a little rain must fall, PJ.
I know, yeah. Depressing as that is, that's the truth, yeah, absolutely.
So what is it this week then, Tara?
Okay,
is it good news?
Well,
or is it?
It depends on your point of view, Jim.
Oh, really?
So we went from probably PJ's heaven topic last week, which was dogs.
Dogs.
Yeah.
To PJ's probably hell topic this week.
Oh, family. No.
Relationships.
Oh.
Personal relationships.
Right.
And the effect that this is having, this pandemic, yeah. Global pandemic.
People.
People.
That's what it really
people.
Is.
People. And with a particular emphasis on those people that you live with and that you're maybe involved in intimate relationships with.
And they're the worst.
I know. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, they're the worst, yeah.
I'm going to find this very entertaining.
There are fascinating things that are happening because of this pandemic to people's personal relationships and particularly their romantic relationships.
Right.
Obviously, you know, family relationships, you've got a lot of people who are maybe have the in-laws now living with them or, you know, they're taking care of elderly parents more closely than they would have done. All these stresses and strains, homeschooling, you know yourself. And it's had sociologists are looking very closely. There are about 7 or 8 studies underway at the moment and have been since the very start of this pandemic to establish what's going on inside people's homes and what's going on inside their relationships.
Oh.
Now, China, of course, they were the first people to experience COVID-19 and the first to go into lockdown. And they're reporting, sociologists there are reporting that the high pressure environment combined with financial stresses has led to a rise in conflict. This is not maybe hugely surprising. When the lockdown measures were lifted there in March, the first place that many couples went was not for a romantic dinner or a nice weekend away or a romantic stroll by the river.
I have a feeling where this is going.
It was straight to the divorce lawyers.
Oh, my God.
The city of Z in northwest China, their marriage registration office has said they saw an unprecedented number of divorce requests within days of the city coming out of lockdown in March.
If you're going to spend time with the person you're with, what do you expect?
It's probably the first time. They probably, you know, in modern relationships, like two people get together, right? Get married, whatever. And they both have to work.
Yeah.
They're both out all day. They both have their, you know what I mean? They probably only get small pockets of opportunity
of time,
to be together.
Yes.
All of a sudden, they're thrust together 24/7. And it's like, what? That's the way you really are.
Yes, exactly. And one
that's
of
why when people retire, it breaks relationships. Because obviously, you know, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing under my feet? I've had this house to myself for 40 years. Why are you
somewhere?
Go do something.
Go do something. Go fix a lawn or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, grow a grass.
Now, apparently one of the main reasons being cited for the request to divorce in China, anyway, specifically, is that the women are just a little hard done by, or that's what they feel, that they're still the ones doing the lion's share of the cooking, the cleaning, the homeschooling, all the caring,
right.
Even though, you know, the hubby's sitting at home as well in lockdown. But that's, I'm just saying, I'm not making any judgment or casting any aspersions.
I mean, I'd love to be jumping to defence here, but...
Yeah.
I'm not going to be honest.
Your silence is deafening.
Exactly.
It's just, you know what it is? It's different levels. You live with some people and they have to have stuff clean all the time. Whereas my level is, it has to be clean eventually.
Right.
So then, you know what I mean? So then you get
it has to be
sink.
Clean at some point in its existence.
Yeah, and if you don't leave it to be cleaned eventually, well then I'm never going to get my turn. So technically, someone who cleans all the time is robbing me of my opportunity.
Of your opportunity to enjoy the fulfillment of cleaning up after yourself.
Exactly, yeah. And then you're going to try and clean up in the divorce.
Well, isn't it just as
I know
you
can't
spent lockdown
Tara's
with your
face,
mammy?
But it's probably a good job.
Yeah, but it's a good idea. I think that PJ spent lockdown with his mammy.
Very important idea.
Because I tell you something, she won't do anything, and I've no problem saying it. I'm blue in the face.
Calling her out,
I'm blue in the face, trying to say I've done. I've gone out of my mind. I'm doing everything.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna. I tell you something. Oh, but the pandemic and I'm vulnerable. Get out and do some work.
So there could be parental divorce going on soon.
There could very well be parental divorce.
She's not getting away that easy.
Now, they're looking as well, though, the scientists, at sort of, they're trying to compare it with other
Right.
Big events, basically, the likes of sort of natural disasters, for example.
Yeah.
Or big terrorist attacks. After 9/11, you would have thought maybe that, you know, this makes people think about their lives.
Bring you closer together, life is short,
or
all that.
Or shatter you apart, whatever. So they're trying to make comparisons, basically, with that. And what they're finding is that at this point in time, one US study is actually finding possibly the opposite. That couples there who are being surveyed, finding 74% of them that their relationships were largely unchanged by the pandemic. 17% of couples indicating their relationship had actually gotten a little bit or a lot better, 5% saying worse. And it seems Ireland and Dublin in particular, well, now, this is not particularly scientific, I'll give you that.
Right.
But love is blossoming here, it seems.
Oh, really?
Yes. Online dating apps have surged. People are apparently making connections with one another and what's now been termed as slow dating.
Brilliant, yeah, right? Into this, yeah. Guess what the secret here is? They're not meeting each other.
Yeah, yeah. Also, the reason there's a rise in dating apps is because there's people who are married going, I'm not putting up with this for much longer.
Yeah. You are such a romantic.
There's got to be something better out there. Hang on a second till I have a look through these.
Oh, yeah, somebody has to have something slightly worse than me. I'm going looking.
Well, I don't know now, because in addition to that then, in Dublin, we have Voltaire Diamonds, a very famous jewellery.
I've never heard, but no great surprise there.
But they're saying that sales of diamond engagement rings during March, April and May of this year shot up. 82% of their clients during lockdown were looking for engagement rings, compared to 60% of their clients last year.
Oh, well, look at us, PJ, big... thick Irish romantic heads on us.
Would you get away out of that? If the pubs were open the last 3 months, that money would have been spent on fish and chips and fizzies.
And that very much plays into my theory. I think it was you're stuck at home and you run out of things to say. So it's like, we'll get married
or something, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What, is there anything on? Not really. All right, go on, then we'll get married.
If I get your ring, will you stop asking me about this fence that I never fixed?
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, look, it's up to you. Either the house gets painted or you can have a ring. What do you want?
What do you want? Which one is it?
What's it going to be?
Now, just on a final note to end, there have been studies done over hundreds of years, in actual fact, of what happens to close personal relationships in times of crisis. And basically it's found that we sort of revert to almost caveman type of behaviour.
Right.
Okay.
Now, what do you mean revert?
Some of us have been in it for quite a while.
Perfecting it.
Very specifically, our focus tends to turn to the survival of the species, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And women...
Should I start playing a bit of...
But women, apparently, in times of crisis like this, start eating a lot.
Right.
And that is basically, ladies, I'm giving you the best excuse you're ever going to get for the COVID belly. I'm quite proud of
There's
my own.
There's me thinking you were talking about jiggery pokery and you're just talking about eating.
No, I am. I'm getting to that. And the reason that they do that, it's instinctive, because they need to put down a good layer of belly fat, which helps them get pregnant and stay pregnant successfully to full term with a baby.
Great.
Men, on the other
hand...
You
must be over the moon about that, PJ.
It's great, yeah.
Men, on the other hand, well, apparently they really do develop a one-track mind.
Oh, right.
But it's all just to do with survival of the species
in these uncertain times.
Yeah. That is it.
Yeah, that's a great chat-up line. Look it, I'm not going to enjoy it either. But we're going to have to do it for the survival of the world.
You have to imagine coming in, someone sitting there halfway through a 5-liter tub of ice cream. You're like, the old instinct kicking in again.
Well, now you know more than ever before. The COVID Update. Classic hits.
Yeah, that's one of our American bangers for the weekend. That's in it. R-O-C-K in the USA. John Cougar Mellencamp.
That's a proper American classic now right there. I can't think of anything more 4th of July than that.
I mean, literally, R-O-C-K in the USA.
It's as American as George Washington firing an M-16 into the sky while eagles fly over his head.
John Cougar Mellencamp's another one of those. Like Springsteen, it's a real... Just he couldn't be anything but American.
I know,
it's like if it cut him in half, there'd be, I don't know, whatever. The flag would be in the middle of him or something.
He's so American, I'd love to walk up to him and say, yeah, so what part of Canada are you from? I just see his face. That's how American he is.
Magic Mike was saying that that song, because he did a little bit of snooping around, bit of background research.
Yeah.
From the wardrobe. Apparently John Cougar Mellencamp was disgusted that nobody knew what the song was about, because it was meant to be this big tribute. you know, celebrating like all the 60s icons and everything and all that. And nobody got it. They just went around singing, R-O-C-K in the... And he was disgusted that they didn't get it.
Can I go back to our boys' own conversation earlier and just say, the sort of determination to have yourself taken seriously when you're writing a jovial dance number, it's a little bit much to ask, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're right,
does anybody worry that much about it, you know? So, I suppose the odd song, you know, protest song maybe or something, but more often than not, how many people realise what a song is actually about?
Well, the best is ever is when you get the likes of Donald Trump and he plays like Born in the USA when he's walking out, you know, and he has no idea that song is about like condemning the acts of the USA around the world, you know, the type of thing. And he's just there going, yeah, oh, look at me, I literally don't know what I'm doing. It's great. Like, that happens quite a lot, I think, doesn't it? And then you get people who take songs way too seriously. Do you remember that?
I remember wasn't there a famous incident where Magic Mike, I wonder is he on the line at the moment, wasn't there a famous incident where he mistakenly took a song as being a love song? A song that was very much about anything but love.
We haven't forgotten that, have we?
No, we haven't let that go, Michael, just to be clear.
It was a song about horrendous violence.
Absolutely.
And he's there, hey, that's a love song, isn't it? No.
If I remember correctly, I was on with you, PJ, on Valentine's Day, and we played Luca Bloom. What's the name of the song?
It wasn't Luca Bloom.
No, it was Luca by Suzanne Vega. No.
Oh, Luca by Suzanne
Vega. Yeah. No. It was, yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. My name is Luca, yeah. Yeah. All about, like, you know, domestic violence.
Yeah, and there's a love song now.
No, it's not, Michael.
Not this one. Not this one.
And now every time that Bloomin' song is played,
there you go,
some
Mike.
Smart arse in the office. Oh, there's a love song, Mike.
Feeling lovey-dovey, Mike, are we?
Oh, well.
Yeah, like,
what can you do, eh?
Mike has loads of favourite love songs. What's your other one? War! What is it good? Love is all around. He's a real sentimental.
Ah,
You know what they say.
Love is all around where Mike's concerned. That's what it's all about. Anyway, this is John Cougar Mellencamp, R-O-C-K in the USA, one of the American bangers that we have for you today. We've got a few of them through the course of the show, and of course, right through the day and the entire weekend, celebrating the 4th of July with American Classics. Here are Classic Hits. Edwyn Collins, A Girl Like You. Here are Classic Hits. Almost 21 minutes to 8 o'clock. Thank you for waking up happy with BJ and Jim. Thanks a million for letting us hang out with you on this Friday. Happy Friday to you. Doesn't look great out there, I've got to be honest with you, at the moment. It's a bit wet and windy, to be honest, and I don't know what it's like where you are around the country, but not great here, is it, really?
Yeah, it's a bit murky and googy. Yeah, it's not deadly business anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah, you can cheer yourself up with €1,300. That's what we've got for you on the hit bis. Final call on it, 087-188-0008. Let Magic Mike know if you want to play. Don't give us your guess, just let us know if you want to play, and if you want to, you can check out classichits.ie before that. Speaking of Magic Mike...
Yeah.
Now, the way we were slagging them there about the whole thing with Luca. My name is Luca, and what's her name? Suzanne Vega, and thinking it was a love song.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Somebody texted in, Sean Mullingar texted in to go, does Mike know that Home Alone isn't a documentary?
But see, this is it. It was a great one. It was a good howler, wasn't it? I love when people get things wrong like that. Yeah. You know, especially
somebody else, you know the way we played, what do you call it? John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yes.
R-O-C-K in the USA.
R-O-C-K, yeah.
Yeah. Belfast John thought that the lyrics for that were I love CK in the USA.
I love CK in
and wondered for years who's CK? Was it a tribute to somebody like, I don't know, Calvin Klein or something?
That's brilliant. Therefore,
I love CK in the USA.
Proving John Cougar Mellencamp's point that he should be upset that nobody knows what the hell he's singing the song about.
Exactly.
It's deadly, isn't
exactly.
It? I only have one of them. It was one of those years ago. And you know the police, you know, message in a bottle.
Yeah.
And there's a bit in it where they go, a year has passed since I broke my nose. And I remember singing this.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and someone goes, what? I was there, a year has passed since I broke my nose. And they're like, no, since I broke
my
nose. It's a message in a bottle. What would you do with a broken nose in this situation? Is he writing to someone to say he broke his nose, you tick? I was like, oh my God.
Oh.
And it was only years later I realised I wasn't the only one. Apparently it was a thing.
Yeah.
And I remember working with Jason Bourne, actually. And you know that song? Love grows where my rosemary goes.
Yeah.
And he was there banging it out, having a great time working. He was there, nobody knows where rosemary goes. And I said it to him, and he got all angry about it. He's there, listen, you, I don't care about music, right? So he started picking me up. He was having such a nice time in Erecta.
That's amazing. Yeah. A year has passed since I broke my nose.
A year has passed since I broke my nose.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think if I've ever had one of them. Like, I do remember somebody I worked with before. You know that that song, Elvis Costello, Every Day I Write the Book?
Yes.
I think it's that song. And there's a line in it. I think the line is meant to be something like, I'm sending you a long look or whatever. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
But she thought it was, I'm sending you a long liver.
Sending you a long liver?
Yeah.
Where are you going with a long liver?
I've been trying to sing it in a way where that made sense. But I can't make it work. But for you,
at least you're with mine, it fits into the song. That's yeah. Mad. You know what
I'm
he says?
I'm sending you a long liver.
Sending you a long liver.
Very bizarre.
Nothing says romance like a long liver and chips.
This person was in music radio, by the way.
That's bizarre, isn't it? I love those. Some of those things make me laugh so much. One of my favourites ever is we built this city on sausage rolls. Yeah. And
they're not
classics.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. Ireland's industry and all that.
What's that one?
For the Dolly and Kenny Islands in the Stream.
Oh, is that? Oh, yeah, yeah. Some of them are just so well known now
at
this stage.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The famous Tall Man and Tala. You know that one?
Yeah. It is impossible not to hear that, though.
Once you hear it once, you can never not hear it again. Well, I don't even know what they actually say. Yeah. I only know what the wrong one is.
Look, somebody else thought it was definitely... Who is that? Is that Elf Terry? Is it? No, hang on a second. It's David. David thought the same as you. I broke my nose. A year has passed since I broke my nose.
Since I broke my nose.
That's incredible.
Yeah, see, I wasn't the only one. It's actually a thing. And I didn't realise it until I was corrected and laughed at that it was a thing.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be really giving Mike the fuel he needs after I've been slagging him. Oh, look, that's a deadly one.
What?
Doug from the King of Queens. Instead of River in Blue Jeans. Oh, I thought it was River in Blue Jeans.
River in Blue Jeans. Forever in Blue Jeans. That one.
A river in blue jeans.
Why would you have a river in your jeans?
I don't know.
That's an accident.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? I never thought about it.
Yeah, that's like somebody making a song up because they've wet themselves.
I was just about to laugh at this text.
A river in blue jeans.
Yeah, a river in blue jeans.
It's forever in blue jeans.
Well, he thought it was reverent in blue jeans.
Reverent blue jeans.
Oh, my God, mine's even worse than that.
It's like, I remember years ago as a kid, I worked in a record shop. And I know, I probably told you this story before. I know, it tells you how far ago it was. Yeah. It was a record shop. And somebody came in. Do you remember that song, Words Don't Come Easy to Me? Remember
I do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And your man's name was F.R. David.
Yeah.
And the lad came out and said, do you have that thing, Words by Father David?
I knew as soon as you said it where that was going. That's pretty fun.
Scary.
Do you have a river in blue jeans, my father, Dave?
Yeah, another of our American classics, Grease, of course, Frankie Valli here at Classic Hits. One of the big American bangers that we're going to have for you right across the weekend as we celebrate the 4th of July.
Classic Hits.
Hip it. It's a bit of a really famous hit. It's a bit, just a bit from a classic hit. But what hit is it?
They're getting longer and longer. They are.
Ah, you know yourself. Even I'm in a Good Friday mood.
I thought there'd be more of a cry, really, from that one because it's your tenor on the line as well.
Oh my God! I should do it again. The hip is worth 1,290 in normal times, but you know something.
Deep pockets, Gallagher.
Yeah, and
should it be hand in other people's pockets, Gallagher?
I'll go with that one. It's gone up to a tenner, €1,300, €1,300 this morning. All for you if you can tell us what bit of a hit is this. That's the classic hit bit, and Melissa is going to go first this morning. Hi, Melissa.
Morning. How are you?
Not bad.
Great, Melissa. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday, lads. How's it going?
Not bad. Good. What's your weekend plans ahead?
Oh, I'm getting to go to the cinema this weekend. Very excited.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
What are you going to see?
That Knives Out. So, because they're showing all the old movies. Not
oh, right. Out. I've heard good reports about that. That's supposed to be a belting.
What's it called?
Knives Out. Great cast, yeah. Great cast.
Jesus, it shows you how long it's been since I've been in the cinema. Knives Out.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Jaws isn't in the cinema anymore, PJ.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I presume Knives Out is about cooking, yeah?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, a whole load of celebrity chefs get together.
Right, so, Melissa, £1,300 for the weekend ahead. Let's do it. What do you think?
I think it's Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire.
We Didn't Start the Fire. Right, Magic Mike, what do you think?
I'll tell you what, lads. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, this hit bit has been going on for the longest time, hasn't it? Like, outrageous. Like, but it's wrong, unfortunately, Melissa.
Oh,
sorry,
unlucky.
No worries, lads.
Cheers, Melissa. Happy Friday
Thank
to you.
You.
Enjoy
Happy
our
Friday.
Popcorn. Have a good one.
Take
Melissa.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Sinead is waiting patiently on the other phone. How are you, Sinead?
Hello, how are you?
I'm not bad, Sinead. How's life on this phone? How are you getting on?
I'm not too bad.
Oh, sorry, you told me that. Yeah, I was laughing at myself.
Have you any plans? Are you heading off gallivanting at the weekend anywhere?
Well, we were supposed to sail to France tomorrow on our family camping holiday.
Oh, no.
And we're going to Donegal.
Oh, you're going to Donegal?
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. It would be similar because they speak a different language and everything anyway, so, like... It's almost the same.
And to be fair, you have much better chance of social distancing in Donegal than you do in France. I love Donegal, actually. I used to go up there as a young lad to the Gael talk and all that crack. Can't speak a word of Irish, but I did it.
He says he used to go up there. He was sent up there, Sinead. Literally, was like, go as far away from me as you can.
It's a bit like that, yeah. Right, so Sinead, £1,300, what do you think?
I think Brian Adams and Mel C when you're done.
When you're gone, yeah, Brian Adams, Mel C. Mike.
Sinead, please forgive me. It's wrong, unfortunately.
Oh, unlucky, well. Sinead. Sinead. Listen, enjoy Donegal.
Thank you.
Who do we always say to Donegal?
Daniel Enya and Paddy Bonner.
Grand. Yeah. Say hello to them all for Sinead.
Will do.
Cheers.
See you, Sinead. Bye.
Bye-bye. Right, so none of those, I'm afraid. It means they can all be scratched off your list for the hit bit. But, of course, Niall Boylan will give you another chance to play later on this afternoon. 1290 up for grabs.
Well, go on, scab an extra tenner off him.
Absolutely. That's another one of our American classics for the 4th of July weekend. We're going to be banging the mouse, celebrating it right across the weekend. All of the big American classics all across this weekend. Plenty more through the course of today. And as I say, the entire weekend devoted to some of the American classics as we celebrate the 4th of July. Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sweet Home Alabama. Real good old American boys.
Good old American boys.
Yes, dubious past.
Have they?
Well, I mean, isn't the whole thing like that? Wasn't that song supposed to be the whole kind of retort to the Neil Young song?
Oh, I didn't
Don't they
hear
slag
any
Neil
of this.
Young off in it?
I didn't hear any of this. I never knew any of it.
Because Neil Young had made basically one of his songs, I think, had maybe implied that there was a touch of racism in the southern parts of America.
And they took offence to that, didn't
they? And they decided to do a sort of a sticky up for Alabama type song.
Right, and in a way that there's nothing wrong with racism, or there's no, or there's actually
hard
no
to know,
racism
PJ.
Here.
I wouldn't like to pin me colours to that particular mask.
I can't wait to read about this now. I love a bit of El Rival scandal in the music world like that again.
I tell you as well, the other thing that our American classics seem to have spawned is this sudden influx of misheard lyrics. We weren't expecting this, that wasn't the plan. But what happened was Belfast John, when we played one of our American classics in the last hour, R-O-C-K in the USA, WhatsApped in to say that he always thought that it was actually I Love C-K in the USA, and he wondered for years who C-K was. Thought it was a tribute song or something.
It's gas, isn't it? It's so easy to get these things into your head.
Yeah, and then as a result, loads of people then have started lashing them in. There's all sorts of stuff. One of your favourites, you know, you love your bit of Bon Jovi.
I do.
Tommy used to work on the dart.
You didn't really think that, did he? That's fantastic.
What is it?
Tommy used to work on the docks.
The docks, that's it.
Union went on strike. Yeah. Tommy used to work on the dart. That's so brilliant.
What about this one? Madonna, this is very good. Like Isla Bonita, you know that song?
Yeah.
With eyes like potatoes.
Potatoes. Oh my God, I don't even know what the actual line is, but something about...
It's probably something in Spanish.
There is something...
Eyes like potatoes.
He was an Irishman, I loved him so.
And
that's
this one,
brilliant.
What song is this, right? So somebody takes it, my friend's son thought, I'm going to take my horse to the old town road. Is that Galway girl, is it? No.
Oh, it might be, I'm going to take my horse to the old town road on the D. Maybe.
Anyway, they... Somebody sang it. I'm going to take my horse to my hotel room. On the here's another one you'll like. Because you love an El Rebel song, you.
I do, I like an El Rebel song.
Brian from Limerick thought that the words of the Wolf Tone song, you know, the men behind the wire, you know that song?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He thought it was army coats and Texicans. Instead of armoured cars and tanks and guns.
Oh, that's
army
brilliant.
Coats and taxi cans. What the? And this has actually, this one has gone down as my favourite, right? So there's a Dire Straits song, which I think is, it's one of my favourite Dire Straits songs, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's a great song.
And there's a line in it that says, all I do is kiss you through the bars of a rhyme. That's the right lyric.
All I do is kiss you through the bars of a rhyme.
Beautiful lyric. Except for this person who sang it as, and all I do is kiss you through the balls of a ram.
Through the balls of a ram.
That's shocking.
Nothing says I'd like
nothing
to kiss
says love
more than a fella with eyes like potatoes kissing you through the balls of a ram. That's the most beautiful romantic situation.
The only thing that could rival that for romance is a lad taking his horse to his hotel room. Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh my god, they're fantastic. It's just the idea of someone singing them with such...
Yeah, giving it socks,
really
like...
Really believing that's the lyric and think and getting something out of it. That's like, I love that song. When you sing about your man with the potatoes, licking the lips off the balls of the ram. Oh, it's lovely. I feel alive again when I hear those lyrics.
Oh my god. And that some lad in a big ballad session going, army coats and taxi cans. Yeah. Try to take him. What? Yeah. What are you saying?
Ah, the man behind the fryer.
Oh my god.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
There's loads. I can't keep up. The amount of them that are coming in are
just
ridiculous.
I'm just Googling them to see what's there and the crack is. I love this one. I don't know why, because it's so surreal. You know Adele.
Yeah.
Should I give up or should I just keep chasing pavements?
Yeah.
Somebody
good song.
Was, should I give up or should I just keep chasing penguins? And there's just something about like Adele, you know how serious and into her music is, singing a song about chasing penguins.
Yeah.
It just makes me really
inspired
happy.
By the ad. Pick up a penguin.
And what's that one? I don't know what this one is. It's not I'm 14 Carat from Selena Gomez. Do you know that song?
No, what never heard of it. A bit too modern for me, I'd say.
Apparently, a lot of people think she's saying I'm farting carrots. This is a good one, but I definitely don't know it. And I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles, of course.
Oh, classic.
That's an old, you know, I've heard that one before, though, where it's I Want to Hold Your Ham.
I Want to Hold Your Ham,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm amazed Brady's haven't started using that in their ads.
They will now. Yeah. Was it them that used?
Yeah.
The Black and Tans.
Yeah.
What was they? The black.
Come out and fight me ham to ham.
Ham to ham. Was that a lyric in it?
Oh, dear.
I don't know. I just don't think we're going to beat
Through the balls of a ram.
Through the balls of a ram. Yeah, that's spectacular.
Josephine in Cork thought that, you know that Whitney Houston song, I'm Every Woman. I'm Every Woman, you know that?
Yeah.
Thought it was Climb Every Woman.
Climb
on.
Every Woman. Ladders and tides. These are the type of things that I could talk for about.
I know.
Hours.
That's what I was just going to say. We're going to have to knock it on the head because they won't stop coming in.
Hard.
There's millions of them, and it's just amazing because some of them sound like, how could you possibly have made that mistake? Who would sing a song about chasing penguins?
Yeah,
or whatever.
Some of them make sense though, like Europe. You know the Final Countdown.
Mm.
So someone apparently confused that with a song about singing working in a terrible job. And the Final Countdown they thought was the end of the workday because they actually thought the first line of the song was, we're working for peanuts.
Guaranteed Irish, the Cranberries and Dreams here at Classic Hits. Happy Friday, folks. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thank you for letting us hang out with you on this Friday, 3rd of July. 23 minutes away from 9 o'clock. Last chance to get involved in the breakfast table quiz. 087-188-0008 if you fancy having a go. And while you're doing that, it's time, quite literally, for a toy story.
Isn't that great music? I swear to God, I love that so much. Yeah, you could be sitting on a fortune. This is what it comes down to. If you've had kids, That aren't, well, they're being, you wouldn't want them to be kids anymore if they were buying. If you got to settle someone that's a 7 year old for 20 years, you need to ask them questions. But if you had kids,
right,
going back into the day, you may be sitting on a fortune. So before you throw out sort of the old toys and items, you might want to have a look at them, because this storage expert, right, and this is her thing, she goes around to people's houses and sees if they've, you know, anything sitting there could be worth
it. It's a bit of a sort of cash in the attic job, is it?
Pretty much. Now, she's got a funny name, Vlatka Lake. Which actually sounds like the name of a lake, right? And she has revealed that some of the stuff, like, she's called around to people's houses and they've had Harry Potter books. You'd think, Harry, like, how many people have a Harry Potter book? Every house in Ireland must have a Harry Potter book. It's not that worth that much, you think. Yeah, they are. They're worth fortunes if they're any of the original editions.
So the first run, like?
Yeah. And you're talking, like, you're talking mega money. So if you have any of those, they could be worth from a couple of hundred quid or a few hundred euro up to 40,000 euro if you have the full set. So if you have one of each.
Of the once they're from the original publishing run.
Up to 40,000 quid. I mean, it's not that many of them either. Like, you know what I mean?
And like, the thing about that is, I was just going to say, people are fanatical about that. When you're a fan of that sort of stuff, you're a fan.
A fan, big
time. So they probably would have gone for it, like they'd want it, they'd demand that they got the as soon as it came out.
Like, you remember Niamh Maher that wrote here?
She was a huge Harry Potter fan.
She must be pulling her hair out now for giving the books away back in the day, because didn't she tell us that she used to queue outside and all?
Did she give them away?
Well, I doubt she still has them, or else she'd be living in a, like, she'd be swanning around with 40 grand in her backpack and not knowing what to do with it.
I don't know, because I saw a picture of her the other day, she's still wearing the funny pointy hat.
Is she? There you go. She's wearing a crown and all. And also stuffed toys. You think a stuffed toy is basically just a stuffed toy.
Right.
It wouldn't be worth anything. But you remember Beanie Babies?
Yeah.
This blows me away now, this does. Whatever about the Harry Potter stuff, this
blows
me away.
That's not that long ago, is it?
No, 90s.
90s, yeah.
Yeah. So the Beanie Babies, and they were all her age. Like, they can sell for up to 350,000 euros.
Ah, stop.
Yes! I couldn't believe
it. That's not even a classic toy.
I actually didn't believe it. And I went on to a different, went looking to do it. You know, I started feeling like a journalist for a change. And instead of just saying things willy-nilly, I go and research it.
Don't start doing that now.
I did.
You're going to bring down the whole sort of new to the show if you start being all serious.
Yeah, only when it comes to stuffed toys do I take things seriously.
Right? Okay, well, that's all right then.
You want to see, and they're worth, there's none of them worth less than 10 grand. 50 grand, 70 grand, 80 grand. 130
for a Beanie
grand.
Baby.
Beanie Babies are worth a fortune. They have to have the tag still attached, though. They have to be in really good nick.
So never played with.
Yeah, you know them weirdos to do that as well. I don't know, but they're worth a fortune.
I mean, I thought you were going to be going way back. I thought you were going to, you know, come out with something like, you know, those Matchbox toy cars or something.
No, just the 90s,
oh
man.
My God.
The 90s. And you
what would your BMX be worth if you hadn't swapped it?
You had to bring it up.
If you hadn't given it away for a rubbish Game Boy.
That was. Now, can I just get in? Oh, right, I swapped it for a Game Boy.
Yeah.
That was.
By the way, this is. PJ's still in therapy for this. He still visits and pays money to somebody to talk him off the ledge about this.
It was a Rallyburn or Aero Mag version, right? They were really rare. I didn't understand how rare they were when I had it. I didn't understand. I went onto eBay recently looking for them.
Yeah.
Thousands, man.
You serious?
Yeah, like 4 grand. Sorry.
So you were literally sitting on a fortune.
I was literally sitting on a fortune. Imagine me being clueless of my surroundings.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to make any sense at all.
Imagine me being clueless of my surroundings. Couldn't believe it. I'm still upset with myself.
What is making that sound?
Someone's
talking. That's my Siri.
It's Siri again.
Because I did the whole. Why does that happen? Every time I say, "Are you serious?" The blooming thing. Stop! Not now. Right, sorry. Go ahead.
You don't have your original iPhone there. You'd be the type of fella has an original iPhone. I mean, you're probably sitting on it. There's he is.
That's good, boy, because I never worked out how to use it. God, that's well done, keeping that in the box.
Do you know
how'd you manage that? I was never able to use it.
Do you know who we need to watch?
Who?
Damien Farrelly. If anyone's still walking around with an iPhone 1 in a leather wallet, it's Damien Farrelly.
He'd be the man. He'd have a fortune. So, and there's every chance he'd have a Beanie Baby as well.
Pockets full of them, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, all the kids now. Oh, dear. Yeah. You'd be there going, Damien, give us a shot of your phone. I just need to send a text.
Because his kids be saying to him, like, you know, Dad, can we get the PS5 or whatever? Don't need that. I have a set of drafts that I had from when I was...
Set of drafts, yeah. Honestly, they were great. The last person to own them was Queen Victoria. Do you think they're worth anything? What?
Breakfast Table Quiz.
It's time for the Breakfast Table Quiz. Win the best prize out there is. Try to get the biggest score. Hope the next call gets the more. It's the Breakfast Table Quiz.
The Breakfast Table Quiz.
Yes, it is. And it's the final day, of course, today of this week's Breakfast Table Quiz. Final chance for you to win this fantastic two-night family stay, along with breakfast each morning and that delicious three-course evening meal, all happening at the Inn at Dromoland in County Clare. It is the perfect family staycation destination. And you'll find all the information you need at the Inn at Dromoland.ie. All sorts of stuff. The award-winning Shanigan's Gastro Pub and Deerfield Restaurant. All of the on-site facilities, swimming pool, crazy golf, the play-in adventure centre, tennis, all that sort of stuff. All of the attractions that you can visit while you're there. Cliffs of Moher and the Alwi Caves and the Bonratty Folk Park. And all of the food, PJ.
Dear
the
Lord.
The pizza nights and the picnics and the snack packs and the...
All of the stuff.
All of the stuff.
Can I just have it all together, please?
Thank Absolutely. Bring it all to my room now. Anyway, listen, it's only going to take the Dirty Dozen to win us. It's a score of 11 to beat, so 12 or more in that prize...
Yeah,
yours.
That's it, Brendan O'Boyle currently in the lead, but let's see what we can do with Aaron Mahoney this morning. Hiya, Aaron.
Hey, lad.
How's it going, Aaron? What's the story? Happy Friday to you.
Not too bad now. At least it's Friday, huh?
Yeah, we'll take it.
Definitely. Yep. Have you any weekend plans ahead? Like, what are you up to?
Nothing really planned. I mean, I have a half day in work tomorrow. That's about it, so just chill out.
Oh, they're making you go in on a Saturday anyway.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to tell us what you do, or what's the crack?
I work for HSS Hire, which is a plant and fuel hire company.
Oh, I know it. Yeah, I know
it. So I work in the Waterford branch. I'm from Dublin. I live in Cork, and I work in Waterford.
Oh, James.
Oh, my God. This man is like, he's an Ireland representative, all parts of the nation.
East Coast warrior, man.
Yeah, I'm cultured.
Excellent. Yeah. Right, listen, Aaron, the very best of luck with this. 12 is very achievable in the 60 seconds. We've had way, way higher scores than that, so hopefully it'll work out for you today. 60 seconds to get those 12 and win yourself the family break. So you ready to go?
Yeah.
Right, very best of luck, Aaron. Here we go.
If you were born on Christmas Eve, what date would be your birthday?
25th of December.
No, 24th. Graceland is the home 24th. Of what American singer?
Elvis.
What is the industry in Pinewood Studios associated with?
Movies.
In Dr. Seuss, children's book, what did the Grinch steal?
Christmas.
Is a Bramley an eating or a cooking apple?
Cooking apple.
Yeah, which brothers made the first powered aeroplane flight in 1903?
The Wright brothers.
Who sang the theme tune to the film Titanic?
Celine Dion.
Which American aviation company created the 747 jumbo jet?
Boeing.
On which continent would you find the city of Timbuktu?
Asia.
Africa. In which part of the body are the pectoral muscles?
Chest.
Which is the third colour of the Jamaican flag along with green and black?
Yellow.
The spice cinnamon is obtained from what part of the cinnamon tree?
The branch.
The bark in the story of Samson and Delilah, what part of Samson is associated with his strength?
His hair.
What is the nickname of Sheffield United?
Baggies.
It's the Blades. Oh, the Blades. Oh, who are the Baggies again?
West Brom.
West Brom. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, West Brom are the Baggies. Right now, I said there was some good scoring in there. Will it be enough? We need at least 12. Here we go. Here's the official count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
10, not bad. It was good going, Aaron.
Brave effort, Aaron.
The one caught me at the start as well, you know?
Yeah, that was a sticky one, yeah.
Yeah, they had 24. I know, you hear Christmas and you automatically go to 25th,
go to 25, yeah. Anyway, listen, Aaron, you didn't disgrace yourself at all. It was a close call, just a couple of off from getting the top prize. Listen, happy Friday anyway. Well done to you.
Cheers, thanks, lad.
No worries, buddy.
Have a good one.
Cheers, bye-bye. Right, so there we go. It means that, what did you say, Brendan O'Boyle was the winner, was
Brendan O'Boyle, he's the winner. He's the winner of our first hotel stay post-pandemic, so enjoy yourself and don't be eating all that picnic.
Well, no, we gave away a hotel stay last week as well.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention. I find it hard to give these things away nowadays, you know what I mean?
Right.
Did we give one last week?
Yeah.
I thought that was another Classic Hits hoodie, no? There you go. Brendan O'Boyle, our second hotel winner post-pandemic.